Talking Moms Talking, just a couple of moms talking.
It's episode 9. I'm Patty.
I'm Karen.
And we are Sister Resistors. Just a couple of left-leaning, actual biological sisters and suburban moms talking about things that matter to us and trying to figure out how to make this world a better place.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Another depressing day, so.
Yeah, today, well, I mean, gosh, if we don't do something about gun control, I don't know what's wrong with this country. And that's, we're recording on the day when there was a church shooting, another shooting, after a week where there was a act of terrorism in New York, but not by someone who had a gun. So I think we've got two separate issues there.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. And Hillary talked about both of those things, especially terrorism and immigration. So I'm going to make you feel better because we're going to talk about HRC.
I've been dying to hear all week.
I know. I went to see Hillary Clinton in Chicago.
Woo!
Not in the left coast. She's not coming to a lot of spots out here, but my sister-in-law, shout out to Robin. Woo! Thank you so much. She got me a ticket to see Hillary in Chicago. And we had a great time going together because she loves Hillary and admires her as much as we do. She told me that she thinks if she and Hillary had gone to school together, they would be friends.
So. Aww. But I'd like to believe that, too.
Yeah. Well, I think that a lot of us who love Hillary relate to her in that way. And that's why
Absolutely.
We don't believe a lot of the crap about her, because we can understand being in her shoes and how people make false accusations about you just to improve their own standing, or how, you know, women who are strivers can easily become targets for other people.
Yeah.
I mean, I've
I've
had it happen in my professional life on a very small scale, but it definitely happens. So you want me to just walk you through? I'll just walk you through the experience.
Yes!
A lot of the things she said are kind of recaps of what's in her book. So in my head, I've been listening to the book. So what she said and what she said in my audio version of her, of what happened, are kind of all mixed together. But I do remember some of the highlights. But I think the important thing was really being in the room with her and having that experience.
Yes. Yes.
And being in a room of people who love her. Because, you know, you get this impression that all Democrats have turned away from her, and she's no longer qualified to be a leader. And she's still such a leader, and people are so enthusiastic about what she has to say. And the thing about Hillary that is amazing is to see how hard she's been thinking about everything that happened and how hard she's working at making sense of it and coming up with solutions. And that's why, you know, we got to keep her in the political world, because she is someone who, you know, she's so smart and she has ideas and she's a great implementer. So we got to keep her around. So anyways, she spoke at this big auditorium, and it's called Roosevelt University in their auditorium. And we got there about 45 minutes early. People were already lining up. There was a lot of security. It wasn't outrageous. There weren't metal detectors or anything. But they looked through every single pocket and every person's purse. I had a backpack with me because I'm a terrorist. No, because I had been...
You're a literary terrorist.
I spent all day at the museum, at the Art Institute, which is right near the auditorium.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, my legs were so tired. But anyways, so I had this backpack. So we had another friend who came with us, and she luckily drove in. So she had to run and put my backpack in her car so that we could go into the auditorium. So you could bring in a purse but not a backpack. I thought that was strange.
Okay, well, before you go on.
Yeah.
Like the Women's March, where people just excited, you know, that feeling of that swells up, you know, of unity. People were enthusiastic.
Sort of, but not as much. Like, I sort of feel like everyone's a little bit
beaten down.
Beaten down, but I'm trying to think of the word. Like, you know, it's like, okay, we've been there, we've done that. We're all pros at this political thing now. When we got inside, we were even a little worried because we got there so early and it was, you know, there was a lot of empty seats and we're like, oh my gosh, is it not going to fill up? Are people not as excited as we are? But then, like this family came and sat in front of us. It was looked like it was a mom and her two daughters, and then her son came and joined them, and the one daughter who couldn't have been more than like 21. We were kind of laughing and talking, and she's like, I'm going to cry, just so you know, I'm going to be crying. And Robin and I just laughed, and we were like, we're going to be crying the whole time, too. And she goes, you know it. And she's like, Hillary Clinton is the baddest ass mother bee there is. So I'm here to support her. I was like, that made me start crying right then, because it's like, for young women to understand how tough,
how important she is. Yeah,
important she is, and also how tough she is. Like, I think
they
appreciate what she's been through for women, because sometimes I feel like people our age, like, you know, a thousand little slights, a million little insults, 100 times that you convinced yourself that you're imagining someone's being sexist or misogynist, right? And so
a grope here, a grope there, you know.
Yes, a bad, an embarrassing joke at the expense of women in the room. You know, so you sort of feel like, well, we appreciate more what Hillary's doing for us and how hard it's been for her to take all the insults and lies.
Yep.
And that maybe young women are growing up in a different environment, and so they don't get that. But you know what? They do. They do. And so there was a lot of young women in the crowd. It was very mixed as far as age.
Now I'm crying already.
I know. It was exciting to see so many young women there. And a lot of men. I think it was probably like 60-40 women to men. A lot of men. So that was very heartening. Maybe 70-30. It was interesting there were not a lot of people of color in the audience. That was one thing that kind of stood out. It was mostly white audience, but I don't know Chicago that well, so...
I was going to say that the neighborhood or the area or...
Right. We were downtown. I'll tell you a little bit about Roosevelt University when we get to the end. That has an interesting history. But the tickets were very expensive, too. So,
yes, they were.
And a lot of people came in from the suburbs. Drove, you know, quite a way to be there for the event. So, it was very interesting. You know, she talks a little bit in her book about minority support. She actually did well among black women, even compared to Barack. So, I think that that women of color really understand her importance as well, but anyways,
absolutely.
It was mostly a white crowd. I don't know what to tell you about that exactly. Go ahead.
No, I just said hard to know. I mean,
it's hard to tell
where we are now.
Yeah, we're not talking about a political rally. We're talking about a book event, so it's very with some pretty expensive tickets. I think they started at $90. So so you're going to get a different crowd. So anyways, we're waiting, and pretty soon the whole place is filled up. She actually started late. I noticed the front rows. I think she had a lot of friends in the front rows because you know, she's Chicago's her hometown, so she was waiting for people to come in. There were some local candidates that she had sitting up front that she called out, and pretty soon the place was packed. And then they had on the stage, they had a couple of comfortable looking armchairs and a bookshelf behind her with all her books displayed, and then they had a big screen over that. So,
oh wow,
yeah, it was like watching
concert.
What?
It's like a concert.
It was like a concert. It was like watching a big high-def TV, and you could really see her face clearly. So I was torn the whole time between, do I want to look at her and actually see her? But I couldn't.
Yeah.
You know, she looked kind of like a Gumby from where we were up in the balcony. So I couldn't see her face that well. So finally I was like, well, even though it feels like I'm watching TV in real time. So, with a thousand, you know, other people who are here for the same reason. So I did wind up looking at the screen mostly because I wanted to see her face up close.
Right, right.
So that was cool. So first, the whole event was hosted by Cheryl Strayed. She wrote that the book Wild that they made a movie out of. She's an author.
Yep.
And so she came out and she introduced Hillary. And then when Hillary came out, I posted this on Facebook because I mean, the ovation was so loud. Like, people were clapping and cheering and whistling, and it went on for a good minute. I mean, it went on for a long time, which was awesome. Now I'm sniffling a little bit because I'm already starting to tear up. So
you know what? You do feel like that's the way you can let her know, say thank you to her. Like, we appreciate what you sacrificed to move this forward, you know? I mean, you're never going to get to touch her, so let me just tell you that I'm going to Gordon for you for a minute.
I think that's true. I think people really want to show her that we still love her.
Yes!
Appreciate her.
Still with her fight.
Yep. And she came out, I guess she had hurt her toe, so she came out, she had a boot on one foot, so she can't walk that well. But she looked good. It was just another reminder of how much she's put into this. Like, I feel like she's kind of like physically still recuperating, you know, but.
Yeah.
But she looked better. She looked rested and she looked happy. She looked better than she's looked in a long time. And then she sat down and she kind of covered some of the points in her book. She talked about how much she's learning about social media and the information wars and how concerned she is about that. And she talked about the importance of people getting involved and staying involved and running for office.
Right.
And especially women. She really wants women to run for office. And she really does believe that that's a solution. Like, I've heard people say...
agree.
Yeah. Like, a lot of people have said, even with, like, the sexual harassment stuff that's going on, well, just putting women in power isn't the solution. We have to teach men to behave better. But the truth is, if women were in power, you know, men would behave better.
That's right.
Because they'd be getting...
That's right.
They'd be
getting called out. It became more about the position.
Yeah.
That's right.
Their behavior wouldn't be tolerated by their bosses, or you know, there'd be more legislation that would help control some of this incredible harassment that's going on. So she's really encouraging women to run. But the funny thing was, Karen, is, well, you know, I have this thing, like, when I'm really in awe of someone, when they start talking for a while, I can't hear them. It's like a ringing in my head because I'm staring at her.
You just disappear?
It's like, I can't believe she's...
I know that look you do, This kind of frozen smile and your eyes get glassy.
Yeah. I had to keep, like, reminding myself to listen because I was just, like, so entranced by her.
You might start chanting, right?
Yeah.
Hillary.
I love Hillary. But then I snapped out of it, and I did a good job of listening after that. But as I was looking at her, I was thinking about how much she kind of reminded me of our mom in that moment.
Oh, my gosh.
Our mom has
a lot. Was she scolding you?
Well, no, she didn't scold me.
Okay.
But, you know, Mom has her feet troubles, and there was Larry with the boot on her foot, and she looks like, you know, she looked like a woman in her 70s. She had on this incredible pantsuit, of course.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, she mentioned that at one point she mentioned Pantsuit Nation and said how terrible she thought it was that her supporters would have to have a closed group on Facebook because of all the bullying that goes on online. Which is why we are not closing our Mom's Talking podcast page, because we're not afraid of anybody anymore. We're not afraid of no cyber bullies, since we know they're mostly bots anyway. But the thing is that I've heard people say that when you meet her in person, she's so, like, she's warm and maternal.
Yeah.
And she really, like, she can actually, you can sense that in the auditorium. It's not like you have to be right up close to her. But I think, you know, most people don't even get that close and just have this sense that she's, you know, cold and calculating. And
isn't that weird, though? Because that was such. And I never got that from her, the cold and calculus. But it's so interesting how people projected that on her during the election.
Wow.
That, oh, she's so, I never felt that. Her empathy always sprung from her when I heard her talk.
Yeah.
I don't get that. I think that's just a projection of what people see of women in power.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
Yep. Women who aim too high, there has to be something wrong with them.
Yeah, she must be mean. She must have stepped on a lot of women on her way. And she's, you know.
Right. Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, but I really felt that. And she talked, I mean, it's so obvious how much she cares about children. She brought up several times how her first job was with the Children's Defense Fund and how concerned she is about children and how she wants.
Yeah.
You know, it was really important for her in her, when she spoke the day after losing the election, to talk to little girls and ask them to give up hope. And she talked about the importance of empathy. And she said, I really don't want us to lose that in society. I want us to think about how we're going to develop that in our society.
Yeah.
And hopefully, you know, when we get the current situation straightened out, we can get some leaders who can restore some of that. So she talked for a little bit. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I just said that's not the current example of the media is empathy. All you did, pointing fingers, yelling at each other, trying to blame somebody.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. The best part of it, though, was when, you know, she took some questions. She took some questions from Cheryl, and then she took some questions that people had written on cards. I think they had submitted them from the audience. I'm not sure. Like I said, we were up in the balcony, so I don't know how they collected those, maybe down on the floor. But there was a question from a little girl asking, you know, what she could do to contribute to the future of America or whatever, and she talked to her about running, making sure girls run. Somebody asked her what she's going to be for Halloween. This got into the news because she said, I think I'm going to come as the president.
Yep.
That got a big cheer. She talked, talking about people supporting her, I was going to tell you, like, there was a moment when, you know, she said over and over again, I own what happened. I take responsibility. I stay up at night thinking about what I could have done differently. And someone in the audience yelled out, we don't blame you. So very sweet. And she heard and she acknowledged it. She says, but really, I do. I take responsibility. So.
Yes.
But I think.
You know, the thing I have to say, too, that I love about what she has done and, you know, watching her through the media, too, and it sounds like you're also ringing this true, that she's not apologetic about still wanting it. You know what I mean?
No.
Like, as women, we're taught to be, you know, well, that's okay. It's okay if I didn't get it. You know what I mean? Sorry. it's okay, it'll be all right. And we are, you know, we appease other people because they feel bad,
right.
You know.
Right.
And then she's still saying, hey, you know, the Fox News has called her the Clinton administration and President Clinton.
Yeah. Like, she also talked
like
about that.
Intellect there. Yes. And she said, hey, I'll be there in a second.
Yeah.
I'll take her the job. I still want the job. You know what I mean? She's not saying, oh, well, I've lived on and I, you know, she's saying, yeah, I wanted it. I wanted it. I still believe in it. And I would take it today if they said it's yours, you
yeah.
know? And I still, I mean, that's empowering to me too, that I don't have to feel bad about wanting success or wanting something.
Right. She's never apologized for running. She will remind people, A, that she won the popular vote, B, that she probably was the most qualified candidate in history.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And to your point,
yep.
she's talked about how high her approval ratings have been as the First Lady, how high they were as the Secretary of State. But when she wanted to be president, all of a sudden, you know, people didn't trust her anymore. So.
Yep. Yep.
It's very...
Yeah. And I think that's what's so appealing to, you know, women of our generation, too, and younger women, is that, you know, she doesn't apologize for that. You know, I did accomplish these things. And that's what I just love about her.
She doesn't apologize and she doesn't back down. And that's...
Yes. It's so empowering. Yes.
Yeah. That's, I think, what felt so cathartic for me, to be in that room and see her, like, she's just a person. She's a person like you and me, but she's so tough and she survived all of this and she doesn't back down and she doesn't apologize. She gives us hope that we could keep moving ahead, because as hard as they've hammered on her relentlessly, her own, you know, people in her own party.
Every day.
Yeah.
They are obsessed. It's been a year and we're still talking about the quote unquote Clinton administration.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't understand. Is it all gaslighting? I mean, we're just trying to avoid talking about what's really going on. I mean, they are literally obsessed with her.
Part of it, yes. I mean, well, part of that just shows how threatening she is to them, that they can't let it go.
Bill. Bill,
they cannot let it go. And they should be threatened, because I'm telling you that, you know, I think, my personal opinion, I'm curious to know what you think about this, but I think part of the reason that all of this these sexual harassment charges have come out of the closet and people are being supportive of other women is because women are fed up. We're like...
Uh-huh. I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
I think women are now saying, there are other women who will support me if I step onto this ledge.
Yeah. Because
someone will catch me.
Yeah.
You know?
We have too much at stake. We've seen what happens when we stay quiet and we play nice. Then they start trying to take away our health care, our access to birth control, our access to abortion.
Yep.
I mean, they're doing everything they can to keep women from getting educated. It's just ridiculous.
Yep.
Ridiculous.
That's right.
So the backlash has begun, and I would be really excited to see if it continues. You know, we can keep up the momentum, because, again, women are, you know, we're in many ways... Hillary supporters are like the busiest people on the planet. You know what I mean?
We're
talking about working moms, single moms, white women, but also women of color. We're out there working our asses off just to, you know, to make up for the wage gap that we have to labor under, plus raising our kids. So you don't always hear from us. You don't see us at every political rally, but we're going to march to the polls for sure and vote for women candidates. So, and that's part of what I felt in that room, too, was, you know, when we have a chance to gather and show our support and talk about the things we care about, the emotions are still really, really strong.
That's why we talked about during this podcast. It's like we just can't sit and be quiet anymore.
Right.
We have to try to give each other a voice.
Right. Right.
You know?
Absolutely. So, that was it. And then at the end, Roosevelt University is this university in Chicago that has a policy of admitting people regardless of race, gender, color, race, gender, religion. And they, at the end, they thanked Hillary for doing her book tour there at their auditorium, and they gave her a special award. It was very sweet. And then that was it. Then we all went back out into the night.
Back out to the fight. Back out to the resistance.
Yeah. As we were leaving, the young woman who sat in front of us was passing us on the way out, and I leaned over and I said, I cried off all my mascara. And she was like, I did too. But then it was really cute. She said, see you later. Which was kind of like, you know, we're never going to see each other again, but it's kind of like we're on the same team.
Yep. That's right.
We're not giving up. We're going to see each other on the front lines.
People are still out. I mean, look in Hawaii when, you know, everywhere Trump goes, he's meeting, you know, opposition. There was people with signs that said, you know, welcome to Kenya when he landed in Hawaii, which is hilarious.
That's good.
And there's a big protest planned in Korea, too. And, it's, you know, wherever he goes, he's able to spin it in his own head. But at least it's really a sign from us to us, letting us know that we're still out here.
Yeah. If you look at the level of activity that's going around on across the country, just working on this election coming up in Virginia,
Northam
versus Gillespie, I mean, people all over the country who are calling, and then there's people in the area who are doing canvassing, and like I said, people aren't giving up at all, so I'm not worried about that. But it is nice to be refreshed by being in a room full of people who feel the same way you do. So,
you know, what's going to be my no, but my the Donna Brazile stuff that has been going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, her timing sucked, first of all. But secondly, I did kind of come to a conclusion listening to Big Tap today that evidently, she is thinking of making a run in 2020. And that the reason she is disassociating herself from Hillary is because she's going after the Bernie supporters. And she thinks by disassociating herself with controversial Clintons that she has a better chance of getting the nomination.
Well, that's just cynical.
Across the aisle.
That's just cynical. That's not going to get anybody to vote for her. Certainly, like I said, people underestimate the amount of people who still support Hillary. She won the popular vote.
Exactly.
I think she hurt herself more than helped herself. And, I mean, the Bernie camp is too small. Hillary won the primaries by 4 million votes. So whatever they're alleging, you know, happened in the DNC, it wasn't enough to make a 4 million vote difference. The DNC isn't that powerful to start with. If they were, we would have more Democrats in office across the country. But that just seems like a stupid strategy, and it just shows somebody who, everybody agrees that the way forward is to unite people on the left, not divide them. So
I know. Understand. You know, to me, it all goes down to, wasn't the idea to get a viable female candidate no matter what? I don't understand what the big controversy is, but I don't know. Maybe I don't understand enough about it. But I still try to educate myself, and I'm like, I still don't get it. How is this even comparable to what we're talking about with the Mueller indictment? I mean, it's not even, it seems like,
it's not. There's just a lot of loud and angry Bernie people out there who jumped on it, and then there's a lot of, you know, Republicans who are looking for ways to distract people from what's happening in Russia. But it's really not, first of all, it's not something that Hillary asked for. It's not like the Clinton campaign went to the DNC and said, hey, we're going to cut this deal with you. We're going to, quote unquote, rig the election. It's something the DNC offered to both candidates.
That's a controversy.
It's a non-scandal. There's no there. You know what I mean? It's fine. If the DNC wants to clean their own house and say, we're not going to make any deals in the future, you know, we're not going to let anybody have more influence than anyone else, that's fine. The only thing she got in exchange was the right to veto people who were hired to work at the DNC. It's not like she even got to say who got appointed. She just had the right to veto. I mean, she got very little for that, and she had to contribute. Her funds got used to support all the other Democratic candidates. So once again, you know, Hillary put more in than anybody else and then got criticized for it.
And besides, the Clintons are a huge influential force just amongst Democrats, so why wouldn't they be part of the influence of the DNC? I don't get it. But anyway, that whole thing's been annoying me. So.
Yeah, well, I don't think Donna Brazile did herself any favor. She's good luck running as a third-party candidate. She's not going to win the Democratic nomination. I want a viable female candidate, you know, more than anyone, but not somebody who's going to run by dividing people.
Exactly, and the female again. It has to be the scapegoat.
Why attack Hillary?
How many more times can we punch Hillary in the head? I mean, come on. Come up with somebody else.
I think somebody told her, you know, you're going to be blamed for Hillary losing because you were the interim chair.
That's
so you need to get, but, you know, bad move, Donna. Not smart.
Nope. Bye-bye.
As
we would say, Patty. Bye-bye. And by the way, too bad that we're not on video because I found some lovely pink readers that I was going to wear to show you.
Oh, I can't wait to see
that. So I will be wearing my pink readers in support of, you know, the Women's March, of course.
Do they go with your false eyelashes?
Patty, those only last about 3 weeks. Those have been gone for a while.
Okay.
Yes. Those are gone. We've moved on.
All right. The new look is pink readers.
Yes. If you like them, they're available at the 99-cent store.
Woohoo! I love it. That's where I get my readers, too, actually. I have the ones that have, like, the fake leopard print around the
room. Yeah!
They are very styling. Looking good. 99-cent leopard readers.
That's right. That's my support of Women's March and women's issues, my pink readers.
Is that your yes?
That could be. That could be. Yes, definitely. So my guess is definitely I'm so excited we're moving ahead finally with this, you know, indictment.
Oh, my God.
Let's move it.
Did you see the stories that came out today with these, what do they call them, the Paradise Papers?
No.
Okay,
what?
Well, there's more news. Look that up when we get done with this, because somebody leaked some papers from an offshore law firm that showed more connections between the Trump administration and Putin. Yeah. It keeps getting better and better.
And
I'm telling you, that Robert Mueller, he just gets better looking for a 70-year-old man.
Oh! Definitely. I know he's not backing down. I got to give it to him. He's been smart.
Yeah.
So
he's
played this well.
Yeah, he's moving.
And by
those chess pieces. But I mean,
yes. The way he's indicting people to kind of incite other people, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's very clever. But the part that's so funny is Tina just keeps cracking his bad jokes and getting a spray tan, so like nothing's gonna touch him. You know, I mean,
getting a spray tan. Well, I don't know. His tweets show that he's a little tense.
Oh, crooked Hillary! It's all her fault.
No collusion, all in caps. Yes, because we're gonna believe you if you put it all in caps, Cheeto.
Well, yeah, that means she's very serious about it. Well, they have made 9 connections, 9 people in Trump's campaign, highest level, and if you include Trump, which, you know, we have to keep moving here,
yeah,
who had contact, proof of collusion. So yeah, there are more indictments coming, and it'll be interesting to see what he does about his son-in-law, because
yeah,
I don't know how he's going to deal with that, because it seems like he's going to be coming up with some consequences here.
Yeah, it's going to be really, it's getting good. It's getting good. And I was thinking today how we're only a year away from 2018. I feel like we can make it. But I mean, Lord knows what's going to happen before then. Who knows?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yep. But, it's getting good. So,
let's do.
So, you've got your yes, you've got your no. Do you have another no, or do you want to stick with
that? Oh, just the shooting, gun control. I can't anymore.
Yeah.
You know, every time you hear about that stuff, you have these mixed emotions between, oh, gosh, who's it going to be? You know what I mean?
Yes.
Is it going to be a white disenfranchised militia guy? Is it going to be a Muslim? Is it going to be, you know, you're worried about how this is going to affect the next thing. And that's just so crazy. It's just insane. I never, you know, waiting for the shoe to drop and then the next shoe drops, you know?
Right.
Who is it? Okay. You know, you're trying to see, is he white? Is he black? Is he, you know, what religion is he? What religion was the church? What, you know, I mean.
But still no increased measures to control guns. It's just.
No. Well, Trump made a statement. He came out in his press conference about it, made a few jokes, because, you know, boy, this is a good time. And said, we're all with you. We're all standing by you, which is interesting in the fact that evidently, we don't feel that way about Puerto Rico, but we're going to stand by this town. I mean, it's just, I don't understand what he's talking about.
And
then he goes on to talk about how great Japan is and how, we really admire them. It's like, what are we talking about here?
He doesn't but, you know.
25 people were just shot in America, and we're not going to talk about gun control, but we're going to talk about, you know, the incident in New York City, immediately going to the wall and changing immigration policies. But let's just skip over today.
Yeah.
Oh, well, people were killed. Anyway, back to me and to Pam.
Well, our sister Pam said she'd be back next week with an update on her meeting. She's going to go to a meeting of the Moms Demand Action Group on gun control. So I will be really interested to hear what they have
to
say.
She's going to a fundraiser, too, for a political candidate, I thought.
She is tonight. Yes, tonight she's doing that.
Yep.
And then she's doing it for all of us. So I'm very grateful to her and to everybody who's out there doing anything they can. Thank you so
much. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Thank you for fighting the good fight. Well, my yes, of course, my big yes is Hillary.
Yay! Hillary.
And feeling like mom is in the house. We are
our
political mom is still in the house. You really do want to hug her.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
my queen. I would just start if I ever got to be within 5 feet. I might feel like I'm at a Beatles concert in 1966 or something.
Well, there was a lot of crying and cheering going on at the in Chicago, so I don't think anyone fainted, but
okay, good.
My no was this thing. I posted it on our Facebook page, the thing about the LA Times making the columnist apologize to his readers for an insensitive description of Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Yeah, wasn't that weird? I don't even understand what that was done. It's so weird.
Well, first of all, I don't understand why the description is insulting to soccer moms, but it's not insulting to call someone a soccer mom. So what happened was in a column that he wrote, this guy Horsey, his name is Horsey.
Yeah.
I think it's David Horsey. said, Sanders does not look like the kind of woman President Trump would choose because he prefers sleek beauties with long legs and stiletto heels. Okay, that's true.
Yep.
According to Fox News. Fox reported that Horsey imagined Trump would have picked someone more like Ivanka or Melania Trump, calling them Barbie dolls in short, tight skirts. By comparison, yeah. Sanders looks more like a slightly chunky soccer mom who organizes snacks for the kids' games.
Don't we all?
He wrote in the removed passage. Rather than the fake eyelashes and formal dresses she puts on for news briefings, and I got to tell you, the way she wears those eyelashes is not right.
Patty, I need to help her out. Yeah. She needs to get her extensions working.
Yeah, she's got, it's like, the, I don't know. It's like she sticks them in the middle of her eye, and they're way too long. It's just weird.
It's weird.
Rather than the fake eyelashes and formal dresses she puts on for news briefings, Sanders seems as if she'd be more comfortable in sweats and running shoes. Yet, even if Trump privately wishes he had a supermodel for a press secretary, he is lucky to have Sanders. Okay, so, first of all, why does Trump set the standard for what's beautiful? Just because he thinks, you know, Melania is beautiful doesn't mean that soccer moms aren't beautiful. And being slightly chunky doesn't make you unattractive. So, I mean, the whole thing was weird. Like, why should he have to apologize for calling her a soccer mom? I mean, the whole thing was just weird. So I'm just
saying. It's just odd, yeah. So odd.
I'm saying, first of all, don't call out slightly chunky moms who are working their asses off providing snacks for their kids' games and carpooling them all around town.
Exactly.
You know, as an example of someone who's unappealing. Because
exactly.
You know, it's not an insult to say someone's a soccer mom. It's an insult to say that because she doesn't look like all the other women in Trump's cabinet, she's not attractive.
And isn't it interesting that she feels she has to do these false eyelashes and this stuff every time she goes out for a press conference? I mean, I would respect it more if she just went out like she does, you know, in her soccer mom outfit.
Yeah, I mean, look professional. You're the press secretary.
Of course.
It's almost like she's trying too hard to look feminine. She's like wearing frilly pink dresses and false eyelashes. It's like, wear a pantsuit, for God's sake.
Yeah! You think maybe feeling pressure because of the office, they probably all look like, you know, that standard, and then she is different than that? I wonder if it's like, you know, on the playground, all the girls have pretty pink dresses and curls, and you're wearing jeans, you know?
I wouldn't be surprised.
By the way, a pantsuit would be a very smart choice on her.
Yes, I agree. And she should do... I think she should, like, maybe put her hair up or something. I always feel like in an office setting, just long, long hair is just weird.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, have you noticed, seen any of?
I know.
His close women, they all have long hair.
They all have long hair. Yes. I mean, we could talk about what hair means on women. The tyranny of hair. But, I mean, it goes back to the boyfriend, you know, I don't want you to cut your hair short. I love your long hair.
Yeah, so exactly.
All the women in Trump's administration are wearing their hair long because, you know, women should spend an hour every day combing and shampooing and curling and coloring. And
listen, have you ever tried to put on false eyelashes?
I did once. A long time ago, I wore false eyelashes on Halloween.
Oh, Kaylee has to wear, you know, when she does dance competitions, and it's taken me about 6 years to figure out how to put them on.
Oh, my God.
They're incredibly difficult, but, you know.
I guess
you've got to do it.
Yeah, someone put them on me once, and it felt really weird, and I think I wore them for part of the night, and I took them off.
Well, you will never be press secretary for Trump. I'm sorry.
I guess not. Not for Trump.
No.
That's for sure. And you know what? I'm okay with that. You know why?
Yeah, and by the way, soccer moms you tried making snacks for 25 kids in little bags with individual drinks and snacks that are, have to be like, cut up a million oranges, and they have to be healthy, and this kid can't eat that, and that can't, I mean, it's quite, it's almost like, being the press secretary. It takes a lot of planning.
It's really hard. Well, Sarah Huckabee Sanders doesn't do any planning. She just goes out there and lies. What's talking about? The stuff that she says cannot be planned for more than five minutes.
She just goes up and denies everything. No, he didn't say that. Oh, I'm not going to talk about that.
How dare, how dare you say that? How dare you say that about the administration? I'm very insulted.
Oh, Spicer is so happy right now.
Yeah. And I just want to say one more thing about soccer moms. Some of them look damn good in their little sweatpants.
With their snacks.
Yeah.
Oh, what are you going to do, Patty?
Well, it just goes back to why we do this podcast, because, you know, moms always get targeted, like we're a bunch of dumb fat women who live in the suburbs. It's like, no.
And sometimes we don't even wear pants when we do the podcast.
Well, I am wearing sweatpants right now, but...
I'm wearing yoga pants.
But I will say that when I go to work, A, I don't wear false eyelashes, and B, I don't wear frilly pink dresses.
I don't even have dresses. I'm pants all the way. Pants.
Me too. I wear pantsuits, or I wear a dress with a suit jacket, but not something frilly and pink. And I don't wear my hair long. Because
once I had to chase little kids around when I had kids, pretty much skirts just went away.
Yeah.
When you have to get up and off the floor to change diapers, you pretty much just put your skirts away.
Yeah, and the heels. I mean, the high heels.
Yeah. Like, bye-bye. Yeah, that's just 3 more inches to get down to the ground.
That's right. And the long hair just gets spit up and food and stuff in it, so.
Yeah. And kids love to pull it. They pull it, too.
Yeah, they do.
They do. That's where our mom was ahead of her time. She's had short hair for our whole life.
I know.
I was thinking about that. She's always had that hip short style.
I know. She looks good with that short haircut, for sure.
She's never had hair long, ever.
Only when she was a teenager, she did. I've seen pictures.
I don't think it was very long. I think by the time she got to college, she was all short.
Yep. She got that cute little pixie cut when she got to college.
Yeah, that's true.
Martha,
I do notice that as I get older, my hair does get shorter.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it gets harder to keep it looking nice. And
Or it starts to fall out. Yeah, one or the other. Yeah.
Right. You don't want to look like Kellyanne Conway with the, I don't know, what's up?
Patty?
Yeah.
No, in my wildest dreams. No, thank you.
Yeah. She would then I'll be a haircut.
Yeah, I'd rather be a fat soccer mom any day. Thank you.
Yes. Well, that's because we don't want to go to hell when we die. So.
Oh, gosh. Well, it's been another cathartic conversation, Patty.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad. Every week. We gotta do our part.
Yes, definitely. And I'm very jealous about your trip. And if I ever get the chance, man, I'm there.
Well, she's not going away, so I think you'll get a chance. Don't worry.
I hope so. Yeah. I hope so. Definitely.
You'll get a chance to see HRC. She's gonna keep thinking and coming up with ideas and contributing in any way she can. So.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting in the elections. Let me even get to, talking about presidential elections, which she's going to do.
Yeah.
So.
I know.
We shall see.
We shall see.
Definitely.
All right. Well, so we'll be back next week. I don't know who's going to join us next week, but you and I will be back.
But, Patty, we are enough.
We are enough.
Our sisters may join us, but as Hillary says, we are enough, right?
Sister resistors are welcome to join.
Absolutely.
I think Pam's going to be here because she's got some things to report on, but we'll see.
Yes, I'm excited to hear about it.
Yeah. All right.
All right, Patty.
Have a great week.
Bye.
Mom's talking, just a couple of moms talking.